This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to The Morning Run. You're here with Lin Mark, Ku Su Chuang and Wong Xiaoning. Over the past decade, we have seen the growing influence of China in the Southeast Asian region, both economically and geopolitically. Now, China has been developing a network of security partnerships, particularly with ASEAN countries.
Yeah, they've organized the first ASEAN-China maritime exercise that happened last year. They've also organized institutionalized dialogues with Thailand and Malaysia. And of course, Western powers like the Americans should naturally be concerned, so the narrative goes, as China's growing presence may reshape alignment of countries to them. In the past, of course, we used to be very aligned to the Americans. Now we are very aligned to the Chinese. And does that have Trump worried? We don't know. That's the narrative so far.
So for more on this, we have on the line with us Prashant Parameswaran, a global fellow at the Wilson Center's Asia program. Thank you for joining us, Prashant. Now, what does China stand to gain from ramping up these security partnerships here with ASEAN?
I think it stands to gain quite a lot from this. If you add up all these individual partnerships and dialogues and exercises that you were referencing earlier. So for one, it gains better relations, power and influence, and this is fairly common for major powers. But it also could be an additional source of leverage for China if it wants to be coercive with these countries. I mean, China has shown a track record of when countries don't do its bidding, whether it's Singapore or the Philippines or Japan, it will use a variety of economic and security means to try to punish these countries. And so it's an additional source of leverage. But I think the most important thing that I think you got to in the introduction was strategically, China also gains because it can develop the outlines for a China-centric security order, which can be at the expense of U.S. alliances and also to regional countries. So I think that's the big picture here for China.
Yeah, Prashant, do summarize it for us, because the ordinary layperson may not know where the alignments lie. Which countries in ASEAN are more skewed towards the Americans, and which countries in ASEAN are more skewed towards the Americans? Chinese.
It's a very good question, because I think if you look at the map and you sort of try to figure out where these alignments are, it's actually all over the map. So, for example, Thailand and the Philippines are actually U.S. treaty allies and have been for a long time. But these alignment networks that we're talking about, Thailand and the Philippines are actually cases in point where they've actually been leaning quite heavily towards China. And in contrast, you have some of the countries, Myanmar is a good example, where traditionally, it has been considered out of the U.S. network, and over the past few years, Myanmar has opened and leaned a little bit towards the United States, and now it's leaning a little bit closer towards China in over the last few years. So you have countries that I think are all over the map. Vietnam, I think, which I would cite as another example, which has been away from the Chinese network and very far from where the United States and Vietnam were at the end of the Vietnam War. They're actually developing a much closer security partnership, the United States and Vietnam, because of this common threat that is perceived from China. And of course, you know, Malaysia is another interesting example. You had under the Obama administration, the United States and Malaysia actually developed quite a strong partnership. But at the same time, towards the end of the Najib administration, you did also see Malaysia lean towards China in some very unprecedented developments, including, you know, things that I never thought I would see a decade ago, you know, Malaysia buying naval vessels from China and instituting new exercises.
And what are the risks to Southeast Asian nations which enter into this accelerated strategic partnership with China?
I think you could classify them in various buckets. I think at the basic level, if you look at something like the naval base that the Chinese are building or supposedly building in Cambodia and the secret agreement there, the key issue there is transparency. Are these arrangements actually being reached with the populations actually knowing what's going on and the government's actually pricing in these opportunities and risks? But I think the bigger risks really come when countries actually don't think about these risks, the longer-term risks, and only focus on the short-term opportunities. Because I think if we think about these things as individual gains, an exercise here, a port here, a base here, and this is all happening today, I do worry we may inadvertently be sort of laying the groundwork for a China-centric security order. That may not happen, you know, today, it may not happen tomorrow, but it's something which I think is a long-term question that should be for everyone's minds, because I think what China does domestically, it would be naive to perceive that it wouldn't act the same way internationally. That's kind of how all great powers behave, including the United States. So I think that's the big question that the region has to ask itself.
Now, Prashant, earlier you mentioned the Obama administration, and it wasn't so long ago that we saw the pivot to Asia under Barack Obama. So does the Trump administration now offer a cohesive strategy to address Southeast Asia, essentially to provide an attractive alternative to China?
It's an important question because I think, you know, this conversation is not only about China. It's also what the United States and other allies and partners can do, and they can help make clear what the risks are. But they can also provide alternatives to these countries as well. Unfortunately, I think that while the Trump administration has begun focusing on China a bit more and sort of advanced this notion of a free and open Indo-Pacific strategy, I don't think they have fully operationalized this to any degree. There's a lot of conversations here in Washington about defense partnerships and security arrangements, but if you look at free trade, if you look at even U.S. alliances and diplomacy, a lot of those things the Trump administration have actually put into question. So that leaves all these Southeast Asian countries, I think, worrying that, you know, if the Trump administration is saying we shouldn't move closer to China, what do the Americans actually offer? And I think there are big questions there.
Prashant, do you think the Chinese government is aware of what kind of interpretations ASEAN might obtain from how China itself deals with the Hong Kong riots in terms of its activities going forward? Apropos what you're discussing earlier about how China dealings domestically have to do with regional repercussions.
I think so. I think the Chinese have a very clear view, and it has to do with this view of what they call creating a community of common destiny for all Asians and really for the world. And so if you go by what they're saying, and they actually write about this and talk about it a fair amount, what happens in China is eventually going to shape what the region has. And I think the key issue for Southeast Asian countries and Asia more generally is, you know, is this really a community of common destiny, or is it a case of, you know, same bed, different dreams? And I think that's really where the region is headed in the years to come.
Thank you so much, Prashant. And that was Prashant Paramiswaran, a global fellow at the Wilson Center's Asia program. And he made a couple of interesting points. So he's written a paper on this as well, looking at China's security partnerships within ASEAN. And he noted a few key drivers that have led China to increase this collaboration. One is their growing integration into institutions as well, because the birth of the ASEAN-China Defense Ministers meeting, for example, this has been a testament to that integration. And it's given them a platform to essentially float lots of different possible partnerships on a multilateral basis before they drill down and do so on a bilateral level. So it's very interesting seeing how China is going to be increasing its presence here in Southeast Asia. Very relevant to us considering our involvement in with lots of Chinese companies. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.